Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. From today, we're going to start the new series called Advent. Now we're approaching, we just had Thanksgiving Day, but also we're going to go into December to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now I want us to know, I want us to ask this question, why is Jesus' birth so important? Isn't it just a baby's birth that we just celebrate for about a day or two and then move on to the normal routine of our life? But this is very different because Jesus' birth is not just a normal birth. It is the birth of a Savior. It is the birth of the promised Son. Now, we're going to look at three reasons why this is so important. First one is this: Jesus is our hope. And even though we're going through darkness in our life, we can be hopeful because of Jesus' birth. So hope for now. Hope. That's the first reason. And the second reason is this: because of what He has done in the past. And the third reason is because of who He is. So we can look forward to the future, even though we did not see anything happening and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next year. However, we can be hopeful because of who He is. So those are the three things that we're going to learn today, and we'll see why Jesus' birth is that important. So today's text is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Let's read it together. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They shall be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Amen. This is a wonderful text. Now think about the context here. Isaiah was a prophet. Now, this was written about 750 years before Jesus was born, and around that time was a very dark time for Israel and Judah, because Israel was conquered by the mighty empire of Assyria. Now, Assyria was a pagan country, so they should not allow the worship of God, of course. And then this Israel was so far away from their home, birthplace. So, number one, they lost their country. Number two, they lost their worshiping place. So what a devastating situation they were going through. You know, losing a country is a big thing. It's a big event that it would be a traumatic event for all people who used to be living in the land. But losing the religious practice is also another huge threat and biggest identity crisis for them. So think about in that situation, if you were in this country in the United States, but if you left your country, if you still have country, then that's pretty good for me. You know, I'm from South Korea, so I still have my country back in Korea. However, some of you might lost your country. You don't have any place to go, even in Thanksgiving or Christmas. You are kind of stuck here and you don't have a home country that you can travel to. How devastating that would be. But also, if you lost your identity, cultural identity, religious identity, then it will be like you are nothing here. You have no hope. Everything is dark. The people who walk in darkness, you see the darkness here? The Israelites people are in the darkness. But it says, look at very carefully, we'll see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. In verse 3, you shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So let's look at this passage just for a moment. You see the key word here, the light. They will see the light. And then if in verse 3, it says, they will be glad. So what is the message here? You will see the light. So hope in that. But not just hope in that, but hope with joy. Hope with gladness. Now, when should you do that? Right now. You don't have to wait until next year or 5 years later, but you need to hope with gladness right now. We are in the darkness, not just the pandemic around us, but we are in the spiritual darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, you used to be in the darkness, and you were doing the unfruitful deeds of darkness. What does that mean? It means a sin and death. Look at all around the world. You don't have to pinpoint which country is more sinful. Everywhere is covered with sin. And you may look like, you may think like, oh, that country looks so beautiful. They have a tourism, they have a material wealth and all of that. But inside of that, there's a greediness of money and sexual immorality and all this religious idolatry. All those things piled up together. But it's not just 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, but even now, it's what's going on right now. So we are in the spiritual darkness. In John chapter 3, verse 19, also, it says, people do not come to the light because of their acts. Their lives are evil, so they hate the light. So that is the spiritual climate that we are in. We are in the darkness. However, God is giving us hope right now. What is that hope? The light will come. Now, we'll see who that light is, but at least at this moment, there is a glimpse of hope for that. Now, imagine that 2021 would be much brighter. Well, that is definitely wishful thinking. But what if God speaks to you right now that 2021 would be brighter for you? You'll be super amazed and you'll hope for that. But not just hope for that, you will have gladness. Very important. If you say, I hope for the future, but if your face is gloomy, that means you're not really hope, right? So if you truly hope, there must be gladness. So let's hope in the Lord with gladness. But we cannot just hope for nothing, right? There is always reason for the hope. So that's something that we're going to look at in the next 2 points. So there is the first reason for the hope is this, because of what God has done. So let's look at verses 4 through 5. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. This is important. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. Okay, so do you see the reason for the hope right here? Notice the word Midian, as in the Midian. In the past, now this is the past, the event that all Israel and Judean Jewish people knew. Now it's in the book of Judges that Midianites were constantly invading Israel and they were in a big distress. But God sent judges to save Israelites. And then, you know, God showed that God is the ultimate king and he is the warrior. Now, there's a very famous story of Gideon, and God used Gideon. He was not even a trained soldier, but God used this humble man to defeat the Midianites. But wonderful miracle is this, that God chose 300 people, 300 soldiers to defeat 185,000 Midian soldiers. God displayed his power. Now, why God is speaking about this story? God is bringing up this story as a remembrance so that the Israelites would remember what God has done in their life, in their history, so that based on what God has done, they will have hope that God will do the same thing or even greater things in the future. So it is very important for us to remember what God has done already, especially when you are in the darkness, that you don't see any hope. Very important. Remember what God has done. And because of that, we can have hope for the future. Now think about this. In this year, you know, we have lost so many things, and so many people that I know passed away. It's like a unprecedented, I think, combining all the people who died this year that I know of, they are more than the number of combining 5 or 6 years of the span of time where the people that I used to know died. It's amazing that this 1 year was so remarkable and memorable year that nobody wants to go back, right? Nobody wants to repeat. However, when you think about what God has done already, it's amazing to see that God's hand is still there and God is doing amazing work. And based upon that, we will have a hope that He will do the same thing and the greater works for the future continually. I have a friend who was a missionary, and he saw the wonderful work of God when he was there, and it was a Muslim country. But yeah, can you imagine that a lot of people were believing in Jesus Christ, but not just that, they become disciples of Christ, they were baptized, and immediately they start church, just like we do as a house churches, right? They're not meeting in the church building, but they're multiplying churches. So there's a 29th generation of churches being planted all across that country, in the Muslim country. But that was before a pandemic. Now he is in the stateside, and he was wondering about what is God doing during this pandemic. So he called his friend who lives in that country, and this missionary was so amazed because God is still at work during this pandemic. When he left that country, there were only about 29 generation of churches. But now, as of now, it became like a 33rd generation of churches being planted. God, who has done amazing work in the past, is still doing the amazing work now. God is faithful. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is so vital for you and me to remember, to have hope. So hope is not a wishful thinking based on what we want to have, what we want to see, but the hope is assurance based on what God has done in the past. It is based on the fact. So it's not a wish. It is based on the reality, what has happened in the past. So based on that, we can hope for the future. Now, let's go to the final point, which is this. We have hope because of who He is. Now let's look at verses 6 through 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of His government or of peace on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So the third reason for our hope is this, because of who He is. Now look at verses 6 through 7 again. It says, for a child will be born. What kind of child is this? Now we'll see who He is for sure, right? Based on this text here. It says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. What kind of child? This is not a normal baby. We know this is the baby Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God Himself. Mighty Father, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace Emmanuel, the mighty counselor. Okay, so Isaiah here already predicting, prophesying about Jesus' birth. This was 750 years ago, and he was in the midst of darkness, but God was already showing what kind of baby would be born in Bethlehem as the fulfillment of the promise in the Old Testament. Now, why is this important? Because notice how he described who this baby is. It says, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. It shows who this is. Now think about this. The second reason was this. You have a hope because of what God has done. You know exactly what was done. You defeated Midianites with 300 people. You defeated 185,000 people. That is surely historical fact. And based on that, you know, oh, God did this. So I know he will do this and even greater things in the future. But you don't know what future is, right? We don't know what future holds. We don't know what 2021 would be look like. And we don't know what events will happen in the future. And we don't know what God will do. But we know who God is, right? And that's the information, that's the knowledge that we have already, so that based on that, we trust him for the future. So important. It's things in the future that we have no control over. But right now, something that we can have, we can maintain, is the knowledge of who he is. So in John chapter 17:3 says, eternal life is this, knowing God. Knowing God is so important, because that is the anchor and the foundation of our hope. In 1999 and 2000 was the darkest time of my life. You know, it's about 20 years ago. And I got married in 1999, March 1st. And I was in the darkest time, not because of my marriage, but because of my spiritual darkness. Even though I grew up in the church and I'm a pastor's kid, but someone asked me a question, Sammy, do you know the gospel? And that question really bothered me so much. And around that time, I began to read the Bible very carefully, but I could not find the answer. Everything was written in the Bible was looked like condemning me in a greater level. So I was in a very deep guilt, and I prayed to God, but it looked like God was not really answering or listening to my prayer for a long time. It was not even a 1 or 2 days, but it lasted for 2 years. But around that time, physically, I was going through a very difficult time as well, because I was trying to graduate from the university, my college, but it did not work out really well at that time. And then I tried for searching for a job, and my job applications were not accepted, and I had no job. So I did not have any driver license, so I wanted to get the driver license. At least I could drive for my wife, but I failed almost 5 or 6 times in a row. So I had no certificate, I had no licenses, no job, and nothing. So I felt so miserable about myself around that time. So it was the darkest time of my life. But in 2000, September, God revealed himself in a mighty way, powerful way, that when I was reading through Hebrews chapter 10:10, Jesus' death is for once for all. His sacrifice is enough to forgive, to cover all my sins, that his death is for my past, present, and future sins. So it was a wonderful, wonderful, powerful knowledge, the information that transformed my life that day. And God met me that day and he saved me. And he called me for missions 3 months later. And 15 days later, I came to the United States as a missionary. But looking back, not only what God has done, but what really kept me safe was this. The knowledge that he gave to me about who he is. Jesus is the Lord, and he is the Savior, and his death and the resurrection is enough to forgive my sins. It's enough and powerful to lead me to heaven. So that information became the anchor and foundation of my hope. The situation did not really change. I didn't get a job and I was still in a very low place, but God became the hope. You know, it was amazing. It was the very transitioning time 20 years ago because there were so many things, so many rumors about Y2K and all these things. However, even the world was filled with fear about future. God became my hope and God became my future, and He has been leading me ever since. It's the same way. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we're moving into 2021. Now, you may have all kinds of fear. You might have received and heard about all kinds of rumors from all the other medias and other people. But do not worry. Do not pay attention to those buzzes. You need to pay attention to who He is, because that is the only anchor and only foundation of hope for the future. So if you are going through darkness, always remember this thing, two things. First, remember what God has done in the past. Count all the blessings that He has performed in your life. And second, remember who He is. God is God. He is true God. He is only God. He is wonderful counselor, mighty warrior. He is Prince of Peace. He is mighty Father, loving Father. He is wonderful. He is great. Always remember this and let this be the assurance of your hope for the future, 2021. This is why Christmas is important. Every year we celebrate Christmas not because of Santa, not because of the gifts opening, or not because of Christmas tree, but because of who He is. As we are approaching Christmas, as we're approaching 2021, as we're approaching this unknown reality, let this be your anchor and let this fill in our hearts forever, so that we'll not be worried about future, but we will be filled with hope, with gladness, because of what He has already done, because of who He is. Let's celebrate Jesus' birth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. As we learned, we're in a darkness in many ways, not just external darkness because of pandemic, but internal darkness that has been there from long time ago because of our sin and death. But Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross, and You raised Him up from the dead to give us eternal life. So we thank You so much for what You have done already. But at the same time, we give glory and honor and praise to You because of who You are. You are faithful. You are mighty. You are loving. And You are the Savior and the Lord. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are wonderful Counselor, mighty Father, Prince of Peace. Father, we praise You for who You are. So Father, please help us to have hope for the future, not because of our job, not because of our ability, but because of what You have done and because of who You are. Help us and guide us, Lord. We thank You, praise You. In Jesus' holy name, I pray it. Amen.